I'd like first of all to welcome again our students who are joining us for this Mass, and to let you know that we continue to pray for you. Hope all of you are doing well, and please remember to pray for us as well here at Christ the King. We have devoted our homilies this week to the topic of prayer, using as our primary source Part 4, the last section of the Catechism. I hope this series will inspire you to take a closer look at what the Catechism has to say about the life of prayer. It is an invaluable resource for anyone seeking insight and practical wisdom as they seek a closer relationship with God. We know that the Catholic Church has an abundance of resources for the spiritual life, including the writings of saints and mystics and time-tested methods like Lectio Divina. In fact, when we venture into this vast territory, we face the problem of where to start. Is our personality best suited for Carmelite spirituality or Ignatian? Who do we read first, St. John of the Cross or St. Francis de Sales? Surveying the landscape, we might overlook the Catechism, familiar but neglected, a thick volume we first encountered in the classroom. We might turn to the Catechism for information as we consult an encyclopedia, but not as an aid to prayer. For that, the Catechism seems perhaps rather dry and official. Well, I hope to convince you otherwise. What the Catechism provides, in fact, is an indispensable roadmap for the spiritual journey, as we see in this final section on prayer. This familiar resource provides orientation and, yes, information, but also a collection of beautiful insights that can spur us to deep reflection. Upon closer inspection, words that seem dry and official reveal hidden depths. Today I am focusing on prayers of petition and prayers of intercession, and for those following along, that's paragraph 2629 through 2636. And I'll repeat that. 2629 through 2636. And the opening paragraph of this section is, I think, a good example of what I'm talking about. The topic is prayer of petition, a type of prayer familiar to most people. We might think of petitionary prayer as less elevated than other types of prayer. Turning to God for help when times are tough sounds less inspiring than turning to God in gratitude or entering a profound state of contemplation. We are reluctant and often embarrassed to ask other people for help, and so it can be embarrassing to realize how often we turn to God with our needs. Perhaps we imagine God rolling his eyes as he hears our voice, as if to say, "What does this person need now?" As if he doesn't know already. Of course, this projects a human weariness onto God, who never grows weary of our prayers, but it also overlooks the full scope of petition. The Catechism guides us to a greater appreciation, and so I quote the opening paragraph, again 2629, in full. The vocabulary of supplication in the New Testament is rich in shades of meaning. Ask, beseech, plead, invoke, entreat, cry out, even struggle in prayer. Its most usual form, because the most spontaneous, is petition. By prayer of petition, we express awareness of our relationship with God. We are creatures who are not our own beginning, not the masters of adversity, nor our own last end. We are sinners who, as Christians, know that we have turned away from our Father. Our petition is already a turning back to him. I love this paragraph because it shows so clearly that God does not recoil from our pleas for help. He does not turn away from us as needy or bothersome. The cry for help is not an unworthy prayer. Sometimes it is all we have, and the only prayer that comes from the heart is simply, "God, I am in trouble. Please help me." How many people called out to Jesus from a place of desperation and hopelessness? How many cried out from the side of the road, from the city gates, or simply reached out to touch the hem of his garment? Did Jesus fail to honor their pleas? No, for in that moment they opened their hearts to him, even if only a little, and that opening was all that he needed. They asked for help, and in that moment received far more than they requested. Not only physical healing, but an outpouring of divine love and an assurance that they were known by God. Ask and you shall receive, Jesus tells us. These words of assurance underlie our bold approach to God in prayers of petition. What God wills and thus gives might not be what we had in mind, but we know that God's will always works for our own good, even when we do not understand it. The blind man on the road to Jericho cried out, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And there are times in life when we can say little else. At such times, we join our voice to that of the blind man, the leper, and all the lost souls who found their way to Jesus. In the previous section of the Catechism, paragraph 2616, we are told that the blind man's cry, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner," is known in the tradition as the Jesus Prayer. In the Greek Orthodox Church, this phrase is repeated slowly over and over as a private devotion, a practice that turns a heartfelt, spontaneous plea into a form of contemplative prayer. Indeed, the Jesus Prayer expresses everything the Catechism says in this first paragraph about prayers of petition. It expresses an awareness of our relationship with God. It declares our dependence on God, who made us out of nothing, and confesses that we are not masters of our own adversity. Why else would we be crying out for help? And it acknowledges our sinfulness, which only God can remove. To repeat the final words of the Catechism in this section, our petition is really already a turning back to Him. Prayer can hardly move forward until we make that moment of conversion, or that movement of conversion. Petition does not refer only to personal need, however, although we do turn to prayer in times of personal turmoil. We petition at such moments on our own behalf, but prayer also calls us to a larger concern for the world Christ came to redeem. And you might have noticed in our prayers of petition at Mass, we usually begin with the church, the world, and then work down to more particular prayers. In the Our Father, after offering God praise, "Hallowed be thy name," we make our first petition on behalf of the world. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As the Catechism says, petition is centered on the desire and search for the kingdom to come. It then adds, "By prayer, every baptized person works for the coming of the kingdom." Prayer is never strictly private, for in prayer we work to advance God's kingdom, which is even now breaking into our world. In prayer, including our words of praise and our cries for help, we share in God's saving love, and as sharers in that love, we work as citizens and ambassadors of the kingdom. This might seem grandiose, especially on days when our actions apparently make little difference in the world. It's easy to see in the book of Acts how the apostles, through preaching and miracles, made the kingdom of God present in their world, but most of our lives seem far less dramatic, the results of our efforts far less sweeping. And yet today's gospel, about the multiplication of the loaves and fish, reminds us that contributions made in simple faith can grow beyond anything that we thought possible. So it is with prayer. It changes us inwardly over time, and that change ripples, usually in ways unknown to us, through the world and through the body of Christ. We human beings are bound closely together in both good and evil, and the good we do, the past power that we should not underestimate. In prayer, we lower our resistance to the Holy Spirit, allowing it to move through us and around us. In prayer, we ask God to enlarge the gifts that we bring and use them to make His kingdom visible to a hurting world, as the apostles made it visible at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit moved through them and around them. Finally, the Catechism turns to prayers of intercession. We often ask the saints to intercede for us, and all of us have no doubt received prayer requests and offered prayers for another person. Intercessory prayer is present throughout Scripture. We see it, for example, when Abraham intercedes before God to save the depraved cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Intercessory prayer has tremendous power, which many of us leave untapped. Someone who stands in the breach for others plays a vital role in Christ's kingdom. Bringing others to God through prayer opens our own hearts more fully to God, who honors our love for others and gives us the grace to love even more, to love as He does. The Catechism tells us that the early church lived this form of fellowship intensely, and so could we. Indeed, this time of anxiety and separation calls us to pray more intensely for each other and foster fellowship among believers, knowing how much we need each other right now. Now is the time to show that the kingdom of God is among us, that no trouble in the world can diminish us when we stand united and confident before God. We stand united in prayer, crying out to the one who walked the streets and shores of the Holy Land and looked with love on the leper, the blind, the lame, the sinner. He looks on us with the same love, inviting us to be transformed so that we can rise and become His agents of transformation, making present to our sorrowful world the joy of God's kingdom.